We all love a story. I love a story. Short stories or long stories. Of course, the longest story and the best and greatest story is in this huge book. This is a particularly huge book because it's super giant print for my eyesight, because I'm getting on a bit now. I'm getting deaf as well. Forgive me for that. We love stories. And I think I got a very powerful story for you this morning just to share with you from the Word of God, from 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7. And I'm not going to read all of it with you this morning for the sake of time, but I'd like just to go through the story with you and just pick out a few things that I believe challenges my heart, and I trust it will challenge you as well this morning where you are on this Sunday morning. So I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 24. It's a story of Elisha the prophet. So 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized the entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. That's a kilo of silver. Can you imagine what that's worth? A kilo of silver, just for a donkey's head. How much meat is on a donkey's head? Not a lot. They're pretty desperate, these people in Samaria. And a quarter of a cab, that's just 100 grams of seed pods, or another translation would say dove's dung, would sell for 5 shekels. Silver for that. This is how desperate they are in Samaria. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so that we may eat him today. And tomorrow we'll eat my son.' So he cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so that we may eat him.' But she had hidden him." Can you imagine the desperate situation in Samaria? Can you just think about how bad it must be if the children are being killed and eaten? When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked, and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. He said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. Elisha replied when the king went to see him. The king, Elisha replied and said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah, that's about 5 kilos, of the finest flour will sell for a shekel. And 2 seahs, about 9 kilos of barley, for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Now the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." Verse 3. Now there were 4 men with leprosy or a skin disease at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was, and they ran for their lives. Verse 8, the man who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then he took the silver, gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Verse 9, then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and no one was there. Not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were. The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to the officers, I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we're starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out and then we'll take them alive and get into the city. Verse 16. Before this, of course, he sends out some scouts with one or two of the animals that are still alive in the whole of the city, a chariot. He sends some scouts out to check on these things, and they come back with word to say, yes, they've all gone. They fled. And in verse 16, then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seer of finest flour sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. And now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gateway. And he died just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house, you remember. It happened as the man of God had said to the king. Just some thoughts on this story. A dramatic story. And we've got a group of people I could call the scoffers. We've got the officer on whom the king leaned. And the king himself is a scoffer. He doesn't believe this could be possible. And we've got a lot of scoffers in our world today. A lot of people scoff when we talk about the word of God. I was talking to a man who was, he happened to be an astrophysicist. I was offering him a testament in Christchurch. We were on a distribution in Christchurch down in Dorset there. And the people were going home in the car park. I positioned myself to give a copy of God's word to people as they were going home that day. And I stopped this man and I offered him a little testament and Psalms. He says to me, you know, I don't believe in that rubbish. I got no time for that at all. I'm a scientist, you know, and I'm an astrophysicist. I said to him, well, look out on the beauty of the Christchurch countryside. Look at the marina down there, and the beautiful, the sea and the birds and the fields. Who made all this? Where did all this come from? It had to have a cause. He said, yeah, well, the cause we've decided is, we believe it's called the Great Singularity. The Great Singularity. This is what they're clutching on to. They need something, don't they? They can see everything around them and they say the cause must be the Great Singularity. And I just simply said to him, well, I believe the Great Singularity is called God. He is the cause of all this. And you can read about him here in this little book. And I started to try and talk to him and he gets into a huff. And he walks off and stamps off to his car. He doesn't want to know. He's a scoffer. He didn't believe. Doesn't want to believe. His heart is hardened against the truth. He won't let the truth come in. The truth that will set him free. And people today, there are a lot of scoffers around. So this king's official did not believe that God could do it. And the king clearly didn't believe it because, of course, he sent the scouts out to check on the story. He had to be persuaded to do that. He was sure it was a ruse by the Arameans to get them out of the city and then dive on them and finish them off. He didn't believe. So many people think it's a delusion. But there is a real peace with God when people will trust in the Word of God and read the Word of God for themselves. When I give a little testament to people, I show them the help section at the front. All the scriptures we have a where to turn for help when, in different situations in life, in alphabetic order, the page number and the reference on the page. And so what I do, I like to get them to show them that. And they can scan down it and see the things that they can be helped with words of comfort from God. But I also say to them, look, I'd suggest to you, a challenge to you is to read Mark's Gospel. It's a short Gospel, 16 chapters, it'll take you about an hour and a quarter to read, but you meet Jesus immediately there. And during the Commonwealth Games, Francis, yes, we were out outside in the bullring giving out testaments, and two Chinese guys, students at the university in Birmingham, were going back to China for their summer. And they were interested. I was talking with them, I was sharing with them, I gave them a copy each, and they were going to get on the train to go down to Heathrow to get on their plane to go back to China. I was talking about the China where they're from and their villages, and is there a Christian witness in the village? And one said, yes, he believes there is a Christian witness, but it's quite quiet where he was living. And I said, well, look, take this copy, and I suggest you read Mark's Gospel as you're travelling on the train or on the plane. Mark's Gospel. And they promised me faithfully they would. And I believe they would have opened it to Mark's Gospel and read that. And immediately they meet the wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I tend to do. So there are scoffers in the world around us. And there are scoffers, sometimes in the church, who think it's a day of small things. You know, the days of the Christian faith in this country, it's waning now. And there are scoffers in the church, sadly. And we must remind them that God is still the sovereign almighty God, and he'll work out his purposes, and he'll bring to faith those that he's going to work in their hearts. It's up to us to simply make the gospel, the good news, available to people, and he will draw people to himself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself, the Lord said. So there's scoffers in the church and outside the church. Let's not be discouraged, brothers and sisters, we who know the Lord Jesus and love him. Let's just be bold and share the good news of Jesus with people. And then there's these lepers outside the city. They're not allowed to go in the city because, you know, leprosy is a contagious disease. They can't go in. And when things are good, their families inside the city would bring food out to them. But there's no food in the city. And so where they're sitting there, they come to their senses in a sense, don't they? I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. He's sitting in the pigsty feeding food to the pigs and thinking, I may even have to eat that myself. As a good Jewish boy eating pig's food, not good. He's desperate. And he comes to his senses. And he goes back to his father. And these lepers are outside the city gate, sitting there, and they're thinking and talking, and they're coming to their senses. And they've got some very stark options, haven't they? They can't go into the city. They'll die. They stay where they are and do nothing. They'll die. They're dying. They could go to the Aramean camp, and the camp there, the Arameans may take pity on them. And not kill them. They might live and have some food and be saved. You know, so many people today are staying where they are, and yet they're facing certain death, eternal spiritual death, physical death, of course, but a spiritual death as well. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. You come to church, perhaps your first time here in Kings Norton Baptist Church, and you're not sure about these things. Perhaps you're a bit skeptical. You don't have all the answers. You want to know more. Don't stay where you are. Don't just sit there. Come to faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you and give you eternal life. Peace with God. He paid for that with his own life on the cross. So some people will stay where they are. When Sharon and I are out sometimes offering to students at Freshers' Day, they'll say, no, thank you, I'm all right. I'm fine. They're not really, but they think they are. They're mistaken. We find that a lot when we're out doing payment distributions. We were glad to be able to go into that college here locally, on site to the Freshers' Day. Most of the time, the other colleges in our branch area, we have to go and do a pavement distribution outside as the students go in. And again, they walk past saying, I'm fine, I'm okay, I don't need that. Thank you very much. Mostly very polite though, so don't worry about that. If you want to join us and do that with us, you will not be assaulted. There are no mad axemen there walking past you. You're quite safe. So there are scoffers, but there are lepers. There are people who are sinners. Everybody without Christ is a sinner, still unforgiven sinner, and they need forgiveness of their sin. You need forgiveness of your sins. You need to have peace with God and be clothed in his righteousness, to stand before him, because there is judgment coming. So they come to this logical conclusion. We're dying, let's go, and maybe there's life over in the Aramean camp. There's life here in Kings Norton Baptist Church. Join the camp of Christians here. Just step into faith here in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will live. Live now with peace with God, and that's a great blessing. And you'll have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Join the camp of the Christians. Come to Jesus' camp and you will live. Going into the city, there's nothing there. Just death in the city. There's life in the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please respond to the good news today. And can I just bring a word as I close to those of us who love the Lord Jesus, who know peace with God. We know our sins are forgiven. We know we can turn as Sharon was saying, we have peace with God. It's so wonderful. In all situations in our life, whatever age we are, we face all sorts of issues, don't we? We're not immune to the troubles and trials of life, ill health, and relationships can break down and so on, but we've got peace in Christ. We have the fruits of the Spirit just developing in us day by day as we spend time in His Word and in prayer and with fellowship with each other. And we're developing the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, faith, goodness. I forget the nine of them anyway. Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. You know, those fruits are just developing in us. And we're attracting men and women and boys and girls we meet to understand that there's something different about us as we share the Lord Jesus with them. But you know, each of us can come to church and sit comfortably in the lovely comfy chairs in a warmly, lovely warm hall on a Sunday morning. But this isn't the Christian faith. This isn't Christian life. The Christian life is out there. It's tomorrow. Every day next week. It's with your friends, your family, your neighbours, your workmates. And they need Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. Yes, your life will be exemplary, I'm sure. But sometimes, you know, we've got to open our mouths as well. And we've got to declare Jesus and stand for Him. And that's what particularly helps me in this ministry, because I can offer somebody something substantial as I get into a conversation with them. And I can pray each day, and you should pray each day. Lord, lead me to somebody to talk to about Jesus today, please. It doesn't happen enough to me. I'd love to have more opportunities. But they are there for us if we really mean business. Because that's the situation that people are facing all around us. They are facing judgment. Without Christ, they're lost. And you know this. And we read it in the Word. I'm sure it's covered by Francis from time to time. There are these verses in the Bible that still speak powerfully to me and worry me. Yeah, give me anxiety about my loved ones and family and friends. I want to converse with them. It's not easy with family and friends. They're too close, aren't they, you find? You know, they know you go to church. That's one thing. But to get a conversation going before they shut you down is difficult. But, you know, we must remember these scriptures that still haunt me at times. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And Jude, verse 7. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbouring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Matthew 13, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20, 15, and anyone whose name is not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Those verses still trouble me and still prompt me, and I still remember to think, I've got to talk about Jesus with people. I've got to give them an opportunity to hear the good news. Today is a day of good news. We're not doing right, is what the lepers said. We're keeping it to ourselves. We must go and proclaim it to the city. And that's what we must do, brothers and sisters. We must proclaim it. It's good news. It's good news for everyone. It's not bad news. There is bad news coming for those who reject it, yes, but let's share the good news of Jesus. So remember the words of Elisha. Every one of us who are seated here this morning, what did he say? This is what the Lord says about this. It'll be as he said. So while you're scoffing this morning, don't stay where you are, but come into the camp of Jesus. Repent and ask forgiveness of your sins. Yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today. And are you a saved sinner, a leper with sin in that sense, now forgiven and cleansed? Then don't stay where you are. This is a day of good news, and don't keep it to yourself. Thank you for allowing us again to come and present to you this morning the Word of God and the ministry of Good News for Everyone. Thank you, Francis.
Well, thank you, David.